We want to begin tonight looking again in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. And before we begin, we want to read a card here that we should have read just a minute ago. It says, I want to thank the church for your generous love offering, and thank you for your many prayers. Love each and every one of my church family. Keep praying for me and my family. Love, Alice Green. We appreciate that pretty card, Sister Alice. We continue to pray for her, and we look tonight then in the book of Matthew chapter 3. We will kind of start out to say we are studying what Baptists believe. We have said, according to point number 1, that Baptists believe the Scripture. And here at Bethel Baptist Church, we believe the Scripture infallibly and inerrantly. We here at Bethel Baptist Church, not only do we believe the Scripture, but we believe the true God. We believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. We read these verses before. We'll read it again tonight. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And God had had us point out there are many scriptures in the Bible that tell us Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all in the same verse. And we could spend eternity discussing those. But in this picture, if we'd had a video camera, we would have determined that it was Jesus, God's Son, standing in the water or coming out. It was a voice from heaven, which was His Father, the true God, making the statement that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we see the Spirit descending like a dove. Now, we had said some of the attributes of God, there are 3. One of them is that He's everywhere. Thank God, God's omnipresent and He's everywhere. And we had pointed out last week that Jesus had left heaven's splendor and He could be everywhere just like His Father was. But then He was born of a virgin, had flesh like me, yet He was full God. And because of that, Jesus was limited in He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. Case in point. We remember when Lazarus died, and they said, go get Jesus, because Lazarus, our brother's dying. Jesus was a far journey from there, and He got there 4 days later. You know, at that point in time, Jesus couldn't be in 2 or 3 places at one time, because He had a body. You're just looking at me like you don't agree with me, but I hope you will. That Jesus couldn't be everywhere when He was in body. We realize, and we're going to read some scripture tonight that's going to tell us that Jesus, after He ascended to the Father, once again now He's got a glorified body and He can be everywhere. But while He was on this earth, He was limited in being at one place at a time, just like me and you. Now, He could have left this earth anytime He wanted to, but He had a body which was going to die, just like me and you. Now, we look then in the book of Matthew chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17 that we just read. We see our point number 4 tonight. Baptists not only believe the Scripture and the true God and the Lord Jesus Christ, but number 4, Baptists believe the Holy Spirit. Or we might say the Holy Ghost. He's the same. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are the same. I want to read you our declaration of faith here at the church about the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. He regenerates, indwells, seals, enlightens, and empowers the saved to live a godly life. Tonight we want to preach on why we believe the Holy Spirit, or let's just say how where we see the Holy Spirit. Number one, then, we want to see the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to call your attention tonight that I believe the Holy Spirit of God is easily offended. You don't just treat Him any old way. Holy is one of His attributes. Spirit is His other attribute. He can be anywhere and everywhere. He is holy and He is Spirit. But He is not it. He's not a thing. He's a person. Tonight we look in the Bible, we see the person of the Spirit of God. He is the third member of the Trinity, or of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No less than the other two. He is divine and equal in power and in glory. We look tonight at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. As you turn there, we note that as the dove descended, which was the Holy Ghost upon Jesus, what is the nature of a dove? Gentle, tender, and peaceful. The Holy Ghost is all three. He is gentle, He is peaceful, and He is tender. He never comes to speak of Himself. He always comes to speak of another. I like that attribute, don't you? So many times we run into folks, it's look at me, look at me, look at me. But the Holy Ghost of God never says, look at me, look at me. He says, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. Praise God for that. 1 John 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. He was around in creation. Look with me in Genesis chapter 1. Not only is He part of that Trinity, but He is around in creation. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There we see the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 26. We've read this verse, and I know you're getting tired of it, but we'll look at it again. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What does that mean? Who's He speaking to when He says us and our? He's speaking to Jesus, His Son, and He's speaking to the Holy Ghost, which is the third member of the Godhead. So never forget this, Bethel, that the Holy Ghost is a person, not an it. He has a personality. Number two, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God convicts the world. John 16. John 16. What does it mean to convict, or conviction? What does that mean? I believe, this is my definition, not Webster's, not anybody else's. This is mine. I believe conviction is where evidence is presented that causes one to see the truth. In other words, if an attorney was looking to convict you or have a decision of conviction made against you, he would have to present enough evidence or facts to convince a jury or the judge that his case was true. Right? Now, I sometimes wonder, is there enough evidence of your being a Christian to convict you? I certainly hope there is. Amen? But tonight, the Holy Ghost of God is presenting evidence that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and that God is His Father, and that we are sinners at best. And He is convicting the world to cause them to see themselves versus God's truth. John 16 tells us this. It's what Jesus said in verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Before I say anything about conviction, there's our verse that tells us that Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Why? Because He couldn't be in every place at one time. He said, I'll go away and I'll send the Holy Ghost of God. He can be everywhere. He can comfort me while He comforts you. He can live in me while He lives in you. He said, I'll tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. But if I depart and go away, I will send you the Comforter. Praise God, the Comforter has come. Verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. That word reprove in the Greek is the same as saying, I will convict the world of sin. Now, you tell me tonight, what is it sending folks to hell? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it murder? Is it rape? Is it some heinous crime that sends man to hell? I submit to you tonight that what it is that sends a man's soul to hell is unbelief in Jesus Christ. I don't care what you do. If you reject His message, you're going to hell. Unless one day you get saved. There was times in my life I rejected His message, but praise God, He come back. He didn't have to. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. I was owed at least one chance. He gave me that. According to His Word, He gave me that. But He came back after I refused His message. Now, He ain't always going to do that. Amen? So He said, I reprove the Holy Ghost. He convicts the world of sin. He presents evidence to show the world that we are sinners. He does a good job of that too, amen, of telling us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He reproves or convicts the world of sin. What else does He do? Well, also, and of righteousness. So He convicts the world of righteousness. Preacher, what does that mean to convict the world of righteousness? Well, let's just think about that for a minute. You and I need to know, number one, that we have no righteousness in ourselves. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as a filthy rags. Take your finger and lay right here in John 16 and flip with me to Romans 10. We're coming back to John 16. Let's go to Romans 10. Let's see about our righteousness. The Holy Ghost convicts us of sin, and then He convicts us of our need for righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The Holy Ghost here saying that we were ignorant, thinking we had righteousness. But we were told that our righteousness is as a filthy rags. And that only one is righteous, that is God the Father. And that you and I need His righteousness to enter into heaven. We'll never go to heaven on our works of righteousness. It'll never happen. I don't care what you put in this offering plate. I don't care what you may do. I don't care how big your name is in the community or how small it is. You may be the poorest of the poor or the richest of the rich. But if you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ through the shed blood, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is God's word. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is our righteousness. Philippians chapter 3 says something else along this line. The Holy Ghost had to convict me of my sin, and He did. And He convicted me that there was one that was righteous, and that I wasn't Him. Philippians chapter 3. Turn with me there. verse number 8 and verse number 9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own, what? Righteousness. He said, there's no way that I could ever go to heaven. I must have the righteousness of Christ, because I have not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You and I must have the righteousness of Christ to go to heaven. And we've got that when we get saved through the gift of the Holy Ghost. That word righteousness is the act of doing right. It was impossible for me to do right. It's the same as the act of doing just. The Bible says we've been justified by faith. What does that mean? That it's God that justifies. He looks at you and I, and when we're in the blood of Jesus Christ, He justified us. What does that mean? A simple definition. Just as if I never sinned. He sees me as if I've never sinned. Glory! Praise God, because I know what a failure I am. And when I've gone to Him for forgiveness, He looks at me and says, I see the blood, and I see you just as if you never sinned. Huh, glory to God. Go back with me to John chapter 16. The Holy Ghost of God convicts the world of sin, and He convicts the world of righteousness, and number 3, according to verse number 8, and of judgment. He convicts the world of judgment. He says something about sin in verse 9. Of sin because they believe not on me. I told you it was a sin of unbelief. Verse number 10. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, I'm not going to be around to impute my righteousness. But through the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, you can have communion through Him with me. Thank God. Communion through the Holy Ghost of God. Read the next verse. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who's that? Satan. He's a judged devil tonight. He may have a little power on this earth. He is stronger than you or me. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can't roll up my little fingers and fight Him. He'll defeat me. But God, through the Holy Ghost that lives inside me, is able to overcome the wicked one. You hear me? The prince of this world is judged. He's been defeated. He was defeated on the cross at Calvary. He was defeated by an empty tomb when Jesus got up again. The prince of this world is judged. He has no power. I was preaching one night, and a young man seated on the back seat started to walk out, and then I seen him start and he stopped. After the service was over, I spoke to him as he went out the door. He said, I tried to go, but the devil had a hold of me. I said, I seen you going back and forth. He said, I couldn't get away from him. I said, listen, the devil does not have power enough to hold you from coming to God. God is greater. And if the Holy Ghost has convicted your heart and is drawing you to come to Jesus Christ, He is stronger. He is greater. The prince of the world is judged. He is defeated. He has no power to hold someone from getting saved. What it is was holding him was himself. He didn't want to make that decision. He made that decision a few weeks later. He said he didn't hold on to me no more. I said, no, you didn't hold on to him. There's a difference. It's not the devil doing the holding. It's who you're holding hands with that makes the difference. The prince of this world is judged. You know what else? Somebody said to me one time, said, judge not that you be not judged. And that's a wonderful scripture. But in John chapter 3, verse number 18, Jesus had something to say about unbelief. Those that are in sin. Those that have never believed Jesus Christ for salvation. Those, my friend, that have had the message maybe presented to them and they've rejected it. Hey, there's some more judgment that the Holy Ghost is convicting of. Not just that the devil's been defeated and he's a judge devil, but also, look at verse 18 of John 3. Never gets any plainer than this. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's condemned. Why? Because he rejected God's message about his Son. The Holy Ghost, listen, you know what this book was authorized? You know who it was authorized by? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's the author of the book, my friend. And when he says, if you do not believe, you're condemned already, that tells me he's convicting that there is judgment to come. So the Holy Ghost of God convicts. What else does he do? Well, our declaration of faith said he regenerates. Now let me say something before we get into regeneration. Did you know you cannot come to Jesus unless God has drawn you? No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Who then upon this earth has the drawing, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God? It's the Holy Ghost. He does the inviting. Revelation 22:17, don't turn there. But the Bible says, the Spirit, that's who we're preaching about tonight, the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's the invitation. He's the one does the inviting. The night I got saved, who was it convicted me? It was the Holy Ghost. Who was it invited me to Jesus? It was the Holy Ghost. He said, Jesus can save you. It was the Holy Ghost of God. John 3, we're right in that area right there. Let's go to John 3. Look with me here in this story of Nicodemus, verses number 3. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You and I must be born, regenerated by the Spirit of God. Ooh, 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 preacher, that verse 5 troubles me tonight. Read it again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Preacher, what does that mean to be born of water and of the Spirit? Does that mean I have to be baptized? Preacher says born of water. Well, what about the thief on the cross? Was he baptized? Then that's not the water that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about not water baptism. He's talking about the washing, the cleansing of the Word of God. It's water. Amen. It's got a cleansing power to take our dirty vessels and cleanse us with His Word. Jesus said in John 15, now are ye clean through the Word which I have spoken unto thee. The Word has a cleansing power. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. A man of God, the night I got saved, he preached the Word unto me. And when he did, the Spirit then came and convicted me and brought me to Jesus. It is the Spirit of God that invites and draws and begins to regenerate an unbeliever. Titus chapter 3, go there. Titus chapter 3, just before Philemon, just before the book of Hebrews. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. See what the Bible says about the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says in Ephesians, and you hath he quickened. What does that mean? Been made alive. We which were dead in trespasses and sin. He's quickened us. He's made us alive. How? By the regenerating power of the Holy Ghost of God. You take something that's dead, it must be regenerated to have life again. And it takes the Holy Ghost indwelling to regenerate. Titus 3 verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It is the Holy Ghost that has regenerating power. What else do we believe about the Holy Ghost? Well, we believe that after we're saved, that he baptizes us. Acts chapter 1. Baptized of the Holy Ghost. That scares a lot of people. Don't let it scare you tonight, amen? Baptism of the Holy Ghost of God shouldn't scare you a bit. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 5. When a person gets saved, the Holy Ghost takes that believer, that person that's being saved, and baptizes him into the body of Jesus Christ. Not a water baptism, which is a symbol we've passed from death to life, but a baptism by the Holy Ghost. Well, preacher, I didn't speak in tongues. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, preacher, I didn't prophesy. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being baptized into the body of believers. Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we know what happened when the day of Pentecost came. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They were empowered, and he fell upon them. My friends, right there, we see that he baptized them. Read another scripture with me that's tied together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Preacher, I don't like all this turning. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you need to look at the Word of God. Don't take what... I can stand up here and read it to you tonight, but I want you to see it for yourself. It'll help you. Might be something you want to mark in your Bible that'll help you about how the Holy Ghost of God baptizes the believers. He said you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We were baptized into the body of Christ. He had a specific place for us. Some are the fingers. Some are the arms. Some are the feet. There are many members to the body of Christ. He baptized us specifically into his body, gave us life. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, preacher, no fire fell. I mean, why didn't run through the church and shout and jump 13 pews and swing from four chains down on the chandelier? Hey! Where does the Bible say that's what's going to happen to you? It don't. Somebody said, well, once you get the second blessing. Whoa. Where's that in the Bible, the second blessing? It ain't there. That's some doctrine that some theologians come up with to explain their point on the Bible. You hear me? When the Holy Ghost baptizes you, 'tis enough to be saved in Jesus Christ's blood. 'Tis enough. Nothing else you'll ever need. Thank God we've still got him. There's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He's there with us all the time. Thank God for that. But all we need is Jesus and the Holy Ghost doing his office work. What else does he do? John 14. John 14. We said that there's a person to the Spirit. There's a convicting power by the Spirit. There is a regenerating power of the Spirit. The Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. And as this happens, he indwells the believer. In John chapter 14, read what? He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now you hear me. Somebody that's not saved cannot have the Holy Ghost indwell them. That's exactly right. What did it say again? The world cannot receive. They cannot be indwelled. Why? Because they're lost still. He can only happen at salvation. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now this is Jesus talking on one side of the cross. After the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, He did indwell the believers. Preacher, you got any scripture to go with that? Well, let's just start with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I think that'll be enough. While you're turning there, I got something else I want to read to you. This is Peter preaching. You're turning and listening. Peter preaching. After Jesus had resurrected, after He had ascended, after the Holy Ghost had come, Peter preaches and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." How do you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? To repent. To be saved. That's where you get the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." You, if you're saved, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of God. Preacher, how am I the temple of God? Because God's Holy Spirit, when He saved you, lives in you. He's indwelt you. Everywhere you go, He's with you. To the good places, to the bad places. You better be careful then how you treat God's temple. That's one reason there's some things people do to their bodies I just can't really agree with. Because certainly wouldn't treat God's house that way. And if we're really saved, like we say or pretend we are, then we treat God's temple a little better than the way we treat her sometimes. Hello? What else does He do, preacher? Why, He not only indwells the believer right then and there when they get saved, but He seals them. You ever canned beans? Nod your head. Just tell me you're not asleep. You know what happens after a few minutes? It's sealed. And it cannot be broken open until the one that sealed it opens it. You've been sealed. When you got saved, you're sealed. Well, preacher, I can be lost again. That's not what that Bible teaches. Them green beans that you put inside that jar that got sealed, they can't get out. They can't be lost. How are they going to get out of the seal? What power have they done? They can't. Someone must break the seal, take the lid off, before the beans can get out. You go tell folks that believe you can lose your salvation 14 or 15 times that the green beans can't get out. And how can we? Amen? How can we? We can't. Go with me to the book of Romans. I want to read this to you, just to make you think for just a second. My grandpa Haney, he was always real big on taking little trees or shrubs and taking another shrub and grafting them together, making them one bush from two different backgrounds. Always fascinated me how Grandpa Haney did that. I'd watch him, how he'd cut it just so gently inside the main tree. And then he'd cut that limb out and he'd bring it over and he'd put the two together. And he'd use some kind of a wax type of a seal. Some of y'all have done this. And that wax forms a seal. And those two different objects become grafted together. They're made one. You and I, when we got saved, we were grafted in. We were sinners, dead and lost. But He saved us and took us and grafted us in. Romans chapter 11, verse number 16. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. What's all that mean? God's called people was the Jew. They rejected Jesus. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You're the branches. Anyone that doesn't abide in me, the branches is broke off and thrown away and piled up and burnt. The Jews that rejected him were broken off branches. You and I were wild Gentiles, a wild olive tree. He took us and saved us. He took us and put us in the same place the Jew was. And there we've been grafted in. And he said, if he didn't spare the natural branches, you better be careful if you think you're something. Because the only way you and I have any substance of our own is through the root. Jesus is the vine. He's the root. My friend, tonight, you and I must know that we were sealed. Just like Grandpa used to take that wax and put around that graft, it would seal it so it wouldn't just fall away and die. I'm glad tonight you and I have been sealed by the wax of the Holy Spirit of God. Not only in canning, but also in grafting. How else, preacher? Well, just in the seal itself. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30. I told y'all, that as we go along, this is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And tonight it's getting a little deeper when you get into the indwelling and the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God. And it'll keep getting deeper. But it all depends that you get this. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I told you, he's easily offended. Better be careful. If you stand up and say, the Holy Ghost told me, you'd better make sure you ain't lying about it. I'll never forget one night we had an invitation. Nobody moved, but boy, the Spirit of God was there, strong, but nobody had moved. And then somebody got up out of the pew and walked down to the altar, motioned for me to come pray with them. And I went down there to where they were, and they said, God told me, or the Holy Ghost told me, to walk down these aisles, and whenever I stopped at so-and-so pew, that person was saved. I mean, that person was not saved. And that they were going to hell, and they'd better get up and get saved. I thought, wow, what a statement. And I looked at them, and I prayed for just a second, and I said, God, help me to say the right thing. And I looked at them, and I said, okay, that's fine. But if the Holy Spirit of God didn't tell you to go down that aisle, and to stop, and you offend somebody, and they go to hell, the blood will be on your head from now on. And I said, so you do what you want to. You've got the right to walk down the center aisle or go sit back down in your seat. They went and sit back down. Well, preacher, you might have scared them out of it. I don't know. If the Spirit of God told them to do it, I wouldn't have stopped them. I've seen people say, well, the Holy Ghost told me. And you know good and well, sometimes you've seen people that the Holy Ghost didn't tell do nothing. They were moving in the flesh. How do you know? Because I saw the results of what happened. Mark it down. The Holy Spirit of God is easily grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are sealed. Sealed. That means, what does it mean? I wrote this down. You are sealed, showing the ownership of an eternal God and showing the complete eternal transaction that Jesus Christ has saved you. You're sealed, showing he owns you. You think about a seal. Back used to, they'd take a seal and they'd put it on a writing of some king that he had authored. And he'd put his seal on it, stating it was his word, stating it was his property. Defraud it not. You and I have got the seal of the Holy Ghost. We're his property. You better be careful how you treat each other. You might be treating God's property wrong. That's a scary thing. Amen? What else about being sealed, preacher? Well, let's go one more little old thought. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed, shut in, showing his property, so on and so forth. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of His glory. Boy, now that gets deep. And let me give you a little country boy's theology. When the Holy Ghost moved inside of us, that was His earnest of the Spirit. That's His indwelling, His earnest. What is, if you go to buy a house, you go get your realtor, and they go out and you find your house. And they'll say, okay, we want you to put $500 down as earnest money to hold the house until you acquire the monies to pay for the house. See, I wrote this down, so I didn't want to get it wrong. It means that is a pledge paid in advance with the promise of fulfillment. He said, I will save you and take you to glory one day. So you'll know right now I've given you the down payment, the earnest. It's the Holy Ghost which is in you. That tells me, because He's in me, that you and I are on our way to our promised home. Thank God for our earnest that He's given us. Amen? You understand that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see that? He's indwelling us. He is an earnest payment given till the promise of possession in heaven will take place. What else does He do? He enlightens us. What does that mean if someone is enlightened? That means He causes us to see and know things that before we could have never known. The Word of God is authored by the Holy Ghost. When I was a lost man, I didn't really understand it. Didn't want to read it. Had no concept of it. But when a man of God preached that night and I got saved, all of a sudden I got a new love for His Word. And many times when I pray, sit down, He guides me in His Word. And He allows me to see pitfalls in my way, which the devil's tried to trap us with. And He's caused us to see some light. The Bible says, I'm not going to have you turn, but I want you to listen. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding have been enlightened. And 2 Corinthians 4:6, He said He's caused His light to shine on us. What else does He do when He enlightens us? He teaches us. John 14:26, He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Who is your teacher? It's not necessarily that preacher. It's not necessarily the Sunday school teacher. Your teacher is God's Holy Ghost, who He sent to cause you to see and cause you to understand His Word. What else has He done? He's empowered us. Remember over there in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's when you're going to receive power, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, power to do what? Well, He's got power to authorize this book, power to help us to understand it. He's got power in John 16:13. Whatsoever you shall ask in My name, or John 16:13. He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He reveals secrets, and He shows you things which are to come. But tonight, what fascinates me about the empowering of the Holy Ghost, listen, He empowers us to preach. We couldn't do nothing without Him. He empowers us to come to church and worship. We couldn't do nothing without Him. But I want to show you what else. This just, boy, is blessed and gave into my soul when I run across this. Let me show you what else He's empowered. Go with me to 2 Peter. I want to show you what else He's empowered. Boy, I like His scripture. 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 3. 1 Peter 3:18. We show what else He's empowered. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Who was it raised Jesus? The Spirit. He's got the power to change and raise the dead to life. Okay, if Jesus was quickened by the Spirit, what then? Romans 8:11, and I'm getting ready to let you go. Romans 8:11. If he had power to raise Jesus, look what he says in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, I told you he's dwelling in you. Ain't that what we said? If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. If he had power to raise Jesus, he's going to have power to raise you. You go tell death that he don't have the power. Because I've got the Holy Ghost dwelling in me, he's got the power to raise me again. Well, preacher, that's just not what I think it means right there. All right, one more. 1 Corinthians 6. One more. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 6, 14. Told you, we're closing. Doing my best to close. Talking about the power. He had power to raise Jesus. He's going to have power to raise us. That ought to bless your soul. Verse number 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. By his own dynamite. Boom! Who's got faith? It's God's faith. He gives us of his faith. Hey, how much blasting power is in God's faith? Hey, my faith ain't this grain of a mustard seed. It ain't much to blow my nose, maybe you might say. But God's faith, boom, gonna raise the dead unto life. You know what else the Holy Ghost does? He intercedes. The Bible says the Spirit himself, with groanings which cannot be uttered, makes intercession for you and I. When we don't know what to pray for as we should, when we have problems with our mortal bodies, the Spirit of God's making intercession. Thank God for that. The one that dwells in me knows what to pray for me. I like it, don't you? And last of all, according to the book of Galatians chapter 5, and you go turn there, we're going to close. The book of Galatians chapter 5. I told you the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. You've been grafted in. You are the branches. And you know what he expects of the branches? For us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit. Now, how is it we're going to bear fruit? Well, he's supplying us sunshine. He's supplying us water. He's the root. He's the vine. And he supplies us with what we need. And what does he expect? He expects fruit. How are we going to bear fruit? Through the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit that lives in you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you know, as I have you stand tonight, did you know there are 9 fruit of the Spirit? Count them. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you see them? You're ready to go. Stand up. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. You know there in Matthew 5, I've been preaching about the Beatitudes, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know how many times in those Beatitudes the word blessed is the so-and-so blessed? You know how many times? 9. That's interesting, ain't it? I can tell you had enough. Preacher, how do you know? Well, you ever seen somebody get at the table? And they eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And all of a sudden they come to this point and it gets to right there. And they push back. Whoa. That's all I can handle. I've seen that look on your face. All right. Brother Dayton, you dismiss us tonight in prayer.
Father, as we come. again tonight. We come thanking you, Father, for another opportunity. Lord, you give us our Father, Lord, to be back out to our house tonight. Lord, we thank you for the message tonight. Lord, we invite you to help us, our Father, Lord, to take us in time in our lives. And our Father, Lord, we're going to go out and live with our life, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for the church. We pray for the pastor. Lord, we pray for giving the very message. Lord, it's meant to come right to time. Lord, we pray for the bereaved families. Lord, we just ask our Father, just help them to lean upon you. All them that sick, Father, you know each one. Lord, we pray you might just touch them according to thy will. We know you have all power. Lord, we know you do all things. We pray your will might be done. As all of us tonight, forgive us for our failures. Lord, we do, Father. We give you the praise.